Okay, we've had this little discussion about courage and wisdom, and now we have two virtues, two of these main virtues left, temperance and then justice. Justice, of course, is the most important one. That's our real goal. That's the one we're really looking for. And the question is asked, well, can we just maybe skip temperance? Can we just maybe go for the big one, justice, right now and skip temperance? And I don't know the responses. I don't know how that can be accomplished, nor do I desire that justice should be brought to light and temperance lost sight of. And therefore, I think we should consider temperance first. Okay, fine. The virtue of temperance has more of the nature of harmony and symphony than the preceding. Remember, the previous two, wisdom and courage, those are only due to particular parts of the state. It is the legislature that is responsible for wisdom. It is the soldiers who are responsible for courage. Temperance, though, he says, is a little bit more to do with harmony and symphony. There's a little bit more of that going on here. Temperance is the ordering or controlling of certain pleasures and desires. This is, curiously enough, implied in the saying of a man being his own master. There's something a little bit ridiculous in that saying, because you are yourself, right? And if you are your own master, then you are also your own slave or servant, and that doesn't really make any sense. But the meaning really is that in the human soul, there are better and worse principles. When the better has the worse under control, we're said to be masters of ourselves. When the worse has the better under control, then we're slave to ourselves and unprincipled. Well, being temperate, then, is clearly then about being master of oneself, or the state being master of itself. So look at our newly created state. We're imagining this virtuous state and trying to understand what the state is like. So looking at our newly created state, you find two conditions realized. The state, as you will acknowledge, may justly be called master of itself, if the words temperance and self-mastery truly express the rule of the better part over the worse. Sure, that's fine. So let me further note that the manifold and complex pleasures and desires and pains are generally found in children, women, and servants, and in the freemen, so-called, who are of the lowest and more numerous class. Well, that is a holdover, of course, from the way that things were understood at the time. Remember, this democracy that Plato is in Greece, we're talking about this being quite a different democracy than ours. Well, it's true. Citizens could get the vote and have a say in the way things worked, but only if you were a man. Only if you were not only a man, but a Greek free man. And women and servants and these other folks, they didn't have a voice, at least in governmental proceedings. So, the simple and moderate desires which follow reason and are under the guidance of mind and true opinion are to be found only in a few, and those the best born and educated. Very true. These two, as you may perceive, have a place in our state, and the meaner desires of them are held down by the virtuous desires and wisdom of the few. In other words, in our virtuous state, we have the proper people at the helm, the proper people in the legislature who are actually acting in the state's best interest, and they're actually creating and understanding policies and laws and legislative commands and so on in a wise manner. That's in the just state. And if those things are not being done properly, then we don't have a wise state. So, in this virtuous state, then the state, this virtuous state that has that is a master of its own pleasure and desires, then we can call this state temperate. Because temperate means something like moderation. It means something like harmonious. If there be any state in which rulers and subjects will be agreed as to the question who are to rule, that's our state, yes. and the citizens being thus agreed among themselves, in which class will temperance be found, rulers or subjects, everywhere. Do you observe, then, that we're not far wrong in our guess that temperance was a sort of harmony? Because temperance is unlike courage and wisdom, each of which resides only in a part, the one making the state wise, the other making it valiant or courageous. Not so with temperance, which extends to the whole and runs through all the notes of the scale and produces a harmony of the weaker and the stronger and the middle class, whether you suppose them to be stronger or weaker in wisdom or power or numbers or wealth or anything else. Most truly, then, we may deem temperance to be the agreement of the naturally superior and inferior as to the right to rule of either, both in states and individuals. Now, this is something that has been hinted at. It's sort of been in the background this whole time, and I've mentioned it a little bit, but this is important. This is important for what Plato is getting at here when he's talking about the state. And I'd like to know what you guys think about this. This is an opinion, this is a way of thinking that is, of course, very different than the common way that we're sort of taught. Now, what Plato here is saying is, despite what you may think, despite what people may be led to believe, we're not actually equal. We're not the same. Now, in some ways, this is very obviously true, right? I mean, some people are taller, some people are shorter, some people are have longer hair or shorter hair, some people, stronger, weaker, more intelligent, less intelligent. I mean, that's just obvious. But what he's saying here is, because of some of these differences, there are going to be naturally, some people who are best suited to particular roles. That group of people that is responsible for the legislature, and that group of people that is responsible for being soldiers, and so on. Plato is suggesting here that there are going to be people in the society who are simply just naturally going to be better at those things. Now, the goal, of course, is going to be to find them. And we're kind of not really going to get into the details of Plato's methodology in figuring this out. That would be better left for a political science or a political philosophy class. But the suggestion is this, that in our society, there are people who just by virtue of their natural abilities would be really good leaders. They'd be really good rulers, be really good legislators. There are people among us who just naturally would be fantastic politicians. They'd be really good senators and representatives and governors and presidents. Now, of course, by being a good politician, we're not here talking about by playing the game of politics as it's become very well. What we really mean is that they would be really good and wise at creating and adopting certain policies and procedures. If we have those people in the right place, our society will be harmonious, it'll run smoothly, everybody pretty much will be better off, and we'll have virtue in the state. So again, forget the methodology, right, by which this is supposed to happen. Let's just, for the sake of argument, assume that we have some sort of method for figuring out who would be best placed. What that means is, there are these roles in society that need to be played. We need to have people in positions of power in the legislature. We need to have people in positions of being soldiers in the military and so on. And we need to have the rest of us citizens who kind of keep things moving along. And there are people who just naturally are best suited for each of these positions, for each of these stages. If we have the right people in the right places performing the roles that they're best suited for, then everything's great. We have a virtuous state. If you have the wrong people in the wrong place, if we have people who actually really have no business being soldiers, in positions of being soldiers, or people who naturally have no real business being politicians or in the legislature, be having those positions, then we have problems. And that's the root of the problems. That's the reason that things go south. Is that true? What do you think about that? That's an interesting question, I think. So, he says, we have three of our four virtues discovered. We have wisdom, courage, and temperance. The only thing left is justice. We're close. We are close to figuring this out. We have to go on the hunt to find justice. But then Plato says, well, we're stupid. My goodness, we're truly stupid fellows. Why? Well, because, my good sir, at the beginning of our inquiry ages ago, there was justice tumbling at our feet, and we never saw her. Nothing could be more ridiculous. Like people who go about looking for what they have in their hands, that was the way with us. We looked not at what we were seeking, but at what was far off in the distance, and therefore we missed her. What do you mean? Well, I mean to say that in reality, for a long time past, we have been talking of justice, and we've failed to recognize justice. I grow impatient at the length of your exordium. In other words, get to the damn point, Plato. Well, then tell me, I said, whether I'm right or not. You remember the original principle which we were always laying down at the foundation of the state, that one man should practice one thing only, the thing to which his nature was best adapted. We just talked about this. Further, we affirmed that justice was doing one's own business and not being a busybody. We said so again and again. Then, to do one's own business, in a certain way, may be assumed to be justice. How did I come to this? Because I think this is the only virtue which remains in the state when the other virtues of temperance and courage and wisdom are abstracted, and that this is the ultimate cause and condition of the existence of all of them. And while remaining in them, is also their preservation. And we were saying that if the three were discovered by us, justice would be the fourth. If we're asked to determine which of these four qualities by its presence contributes the most to the excellence of the state, whether the agreement of rulers and subjects or the preservation in the soldiers of the opinion which the law ordains about the true nature of dangers, or wisdom and watchfulness in the rulers, or whether this other which I'm mentioning and which is found in children, women, and slaves, and everyone, the question is easily answered. So, the power of each individual in the state to do his own work appears to compete with the other political virtues, wisdom, temperance, and courage. And the virtue which enters into this competition is justice. So, in other words, this is the main point that we were just getting at. When we have the proper people in positions of the legislature, and we have the proper people in positions of being soldiers, and we have the proper people in the positions of being the regular craftsmen, the regular citizens, the regular workers in the society, and when we have agreement among them that this is the proper way to do things, then the result of that is that we have a wise state, a courageous state, and a temperate state. Now, the question was, what needs to happen further from that in order to have a just state? But Plato's answer is, there's nothing further that needs to happen. When we have the harmony among these other virtues, when we have proper wisdom, courage, and temperance in the state, and those are harmonious and symphonious together, that's what justice is. Right? We're done. Because try to think about it the other way. To have a state that's wise and courageous and temperate, and where everybody is working in harmony, and where the proper people are in their proper places, and everything is running smoothly. But then you want to say that on top of that, the state is still unjust? That doesn't make any sense, says Plato. Those things working properly and having those other three virtues in place, that's what justice is. There's nothing further to do. This goes along with his idea of people in their proper place. He talks about the carpenter. Say whether you agree with me or not. Suppose a carpenter does the business of a cobbler, or a cobbler of a carpenter. Expose them to, or suppose them to change their exchange their implements or their duties, or the same person to be doing the work of both. Do you think any great harm would happen if you take a carpenter and then have him do the work of a cobbler for a week, or take a cobbler and have him do the work of a carpenter for a week? And it might not have the greatest shoes, you might not have the greatest carpentry work, but no real great damage is done. But what about when you take somebody who is just trained to be a cobbler and has no training or no natural ability to be in a position of legislature? What if we put him as a senator or a president without any idea as to what the hell's going on? Well, that can do some pretty big damage. So what we need to do is recognize this three distinct classes, three distinct areas that need to be fulfilled properly for a state to be properly run. We have the rulers or the legislature, we have the soldiers or the military, we have the craftsmen or the workers, the rest of us, the regular citizens. And when all of us are properly doing our jobs, are in the proper place that we should be, and properly doing our jobs, and working in harmony with one another, we have a wise, courageous, temperate, and therefore just state. Now, do you agree with that? Do you think that sounds good? Again, presuming we can figure out how to find the right people for the right positions. Do you agree with that? Then, how do you think this is going to apply to an individual person? That's what's coming next.